Managing your home finances can feel pretty lonely, like when you look at your bank account and wonder where your paycheck went, or when the gap between your income and expenses just keeps shrinking. You might feel like you're the only one dealing with that. I'm Carly Hill, and on the Debt-Free Mom podcast, we talk with women and families about confidently managing your money. From saving to budgeting to caring for the things we own, we find practical ways to move from feeling stuck to stable with our money. Join the conversation on the Debt-Free Mom podcast.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Welcome back, y'all. Another great day with Dr. Allison Young. Dr. Young, are you like tired of me? This has been 2 weeks, y'all. This is our fourth episode.
I love it.
You had joined us earlier this week. We talked all about how smartphones and social media platforms like have unique dangers and challenges and effects on our youth. We talked about addiction signs, as well as signs if your child is getting too much of these platforms. And I loved what Dr. Young had said about like when your child is ready. We talked about introducing your child to these platforms. And she did this. She said this thing, the four R's, which is responsible, respectful, resilient, risk aware. And I just find that so profound, because the biggest takeaway is like every child is different. You know, your kid, your teen, your tween, whatever you want to call it. But going through those things to really realize if they're responsible and knowledgeable enough to be okay with these platforms is huge. So now, today, we do know that these platforms are going to be around for a while. Like, there are legitimate billion-dollar careers in these platforms. We can't shelter our kids from these forever. Like, we can't hide them in a house and say nothing. That's not good for them, obviously. Yeah. A little bit is good for their sociability. They will need it as they go on to their careers in life. A lot of them want to be in these careers. I remember when we would play video games as a kid, our like parents would turn off, like, no, this is just whatever, this is crap. But now it's like, actually, mom, I could be a billionaire if I continue playing video games. It's like, it's just a different world, right? So there are some positive aspects when it comes to social media and some of these smartphones and YouTube and all these different things. What parents want to know, like, what those are. Like, do you see from your standpoint, what are the positive things that these platforms and smartphones can bring to our kids?
Yeah. So I think, you know, when you look at the data, it's really like social media, video games, all these things can really help to supplement in-person relationships, right? Yeah. Just like you or I, like we text our best friend and that keeps us closer. So all of these things can be great, you know, specifically video games can be great, actually can help learning and some like social behavior, especially when doing it in person together. So like friends getting together and gaming or whatever, or like talking to your real friends online, I think is okay to an extent, right? But there are the positive things from that. Of course, there's content creation, which generally I think is better than consumption. That being said, like kind of depends what you're creating as well.
Right. True.
Putting productive things out into the world. Yeah. So all these things, social media was made to foster connection. So there is that capability. And what I just tell parents is that we just have to be, again, mindful and educated that it is a slippery slope. And so any of these things, if we're doing even the positive too much, it's detracting from real world connection. And so that's where we run into trouble. And in terms of connecting, so there's data to suggest that if we're going online to seek connection that we don't have in real life or to place real life connections, that's where we can get into some trouble too. So if you just kind of keep it easy, like if we're using it in appropriate amounts of time to supplement real world interests or relationships, then I think that that's fine.
I love that. I love the word supplement, right? It's not like a, like replace.
not a substitute. At all.
A substitute. Yeah. Supplement versus substitute. I love that. And I think about this because my son, for a while, he might change his mind. But a lot of his friends, they all want to be, I don't know if we're going to have any freaking engineers or doctors in the future, because everybody wants to be a YouTuber or a gamer or something, like our content creator. I'm like, okay, we need other professions here, y'all. Like America, what are we doing? Anyways,
yeah,
he really wants to do that. And I, as someone that is in the industry of creating content, like I do, if that's truly a creative outlet, I do want to help foster that, right? But cognizant that he also has tendencies to just want to consume. So yeah. for us, like in particular in my home, like our rule is kind of, if you're going to consume for an hour, then you need to create or do something for an hour. Like if you're going to consume gaming, then I want you to write out what you would say for your gaming platform or make a plan of action for that. So it's just not all consumption. And I think there's probably different arenas for like YouTubers and social media creators. Do you have like an opinion on advice for a lot of parents, I'm sure, that are out there whose kids want to go into YouTube or be a content creator or in these social media platforms as their career choice, which is a legitimate career choice? Yeah. How do you balance that? What advice do you give to parents who have kids that are interested in that?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky question, right? Yeah. I like your approach of like of doing the balance. And I think obviously, first and foremost, like you'd want to talk to your kid and find out what's their motivation behind
why. That. Yes. Like,
is it because I'm going to make $1 billion?
Right.
I'm going to be famous?
Yes.
Or is there a true like interest that they have that they want to bring to the world? So yes. I guess just kind of setting the stage for like, why is the interest there? And helping them to find a realistic balance of what that looks like. But like, if our kids have an interest and a dream, like we don't want to crush that dream. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. You want to validate how they feel, you know, you want to encourage them, but also teach them along the way the reality. I think like for me, a good comparison, because you're right, like it is a legitimate career. They totally could do that. The thing I'd want to be careful of with something like gaming or YouTube is it is an isolating kind of tool, right? You're alone. Yeah. So like if I compare it to hockey, because someone could say, well, my kid is obsessed with hockey. They're addicted to hockey. They love it. That's all they want to do. And that's valid. The difference being like when you're on a hockey team, you're with others, you're engaging, you're physically active, which yes. is bringing up other types of happy hormones and things like that. So I would just say you need to, as the parent, ensure that they're still getting those other things in their life, because knowing that, especially YouTube and video games, it is particularly addictive.
Yes.
And so it has that potential to get bad quickly.
Yes.
So you just have to be that beacon to give them boundaries and make sure that they're fulfilling the other things they need to be doing in real life.
Yeah. I love that distinction too, because that's a great point. Like figure out the desire behind the career path. Like yeah. if they're really truly into gaming, maybe they just are really talented at it, and you could see this, and they like to explain to their friends maybe what they did, their like how they played this game. Like those are skills that you need. As you can't just play a game on YouTube, and maybe you can. I don't know. I think it's weird when people just watch people play games, but whatever. But like,
you know, my husband does that. I'm like, you're such a nerd.
Like, what is this?
Yeah,
but there is like skill involved with like creating the content, video editing, upload. Like there's skills that like you would need to foster in order to be really good at that. It's not just consuming and calling it market research by watching other gamers, right? Yeah. Similar, I think, with like, I don't know how I feel about this. My girls are not at the age, but like girls that want to be a TikToker or whatever it is, like, do they want to dance a lot on it? Do they want to do their makeup? Maybe we just take a dance class. Like figure out what it is, right. what you want to show up as, because you need to have a niche when you show up online to do it for a living. You can't just be like, I'm here. I mean, some people can, but normally you have a lane. And so maybe fostering whatever that lane is before just saying, oh, they're doing market research. Oh, they're just on TikTok. She wants to be a TikToker. Like figuring out why and what they would want to do on that, and maybe fostering that could be.
And even in that like risk aware R piece,
yes,
have them also do a little bit of research on the other side, because they're, of course, are influencers and YouTubers and things that have quit the industry because it's been terrible for their mental health, right? So just to know both sides, I think would be important.
100%. I love that. Okay. So now like let's say you're someone like me where your child has a smartphone, access to social media platforms. And maybe you're starting to see signs, or maybe not seeing signs. You probably are seeing signs of them consuming a lot, or maybe you're not trying to get to that point. Like, what are some good boundaries? If you're gonna, like we said, we can't just keep our children in a room without any sort of access to the internet or outside world. What are some healthy boundaries that parents can proactively put in place to make sure that their kid is set up for success, or just set up for, you know, using these apps responsibly?
Yeah. And I think it kind of applies to either newly setting boundaries because you've just given your kid a smartphone, but also people who, like you, who want to backtrack a bit. Like, I think the only difference there is that you will sit down with your son, like as a family, and just be really honest and have an open conversation to say, like, you know, here's how I've seen this go, and here's what I've now learned. And there's a lot more information coming out about this, and here's why I'm concerned about you in particular. And as your parent, it's my job to keep you safe, and we need to make some changes around here.
Yeah.
And then he's not going to like it.
Yeah.
But you have to know that going in and be okay with that, and just know that it will get better. It's just, so that's just kind of, you know, if you want to backtrack, I think you've got to involve them in the conversation. But if you're just starting out, I would say I think something that parents now wish they had done that they'd never used to do, because nobody knew, is when you hand over that phone, that should not be that child's phone. That should be.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
This is our phone that we are lending to you.
Yeah.
And with that phone comes a responsibility, right? And there are going to be rules associated with this phone. And if you don't abide by them, the phone comes away. So you could also change that, though. You could say, you pay one, I'm sure, right? So you can change.
I think I did. I think I saw something you said. I was like, actually, just a reminder, that's mine. Like, and he's like, what are you talking about? Like, who are you? Like, I just start changing all these things. I was like, and this is happening. He's like, what have you been doing? I don't like this, but I did it. I mean, there's only so much you can debate. I do pay the bill. So you could do it.
Cause I've even had some parents come with like kids that are over 18, let's say, and they're like, well, I can't, you know, they're 18. And I said, but do you still pay with phone? Yes. Right. Well then, you know, I think you still think like if you're over 18, you're an adult, but like in this day and age, let's be honest, over 18, they're still children.
They're still children.
They're growing up.
They're going up slower. I was like, even this is kind of backtracking, but just like the desire to like leave the home at all is like just so much lower than like when we were kids. Like they don't want to drive. No. They don't want to go hang out with their friends. They don't want to do it. Like, why go anywhere when you have this all the world and entertainment in your pot? You know what I mean? And so like 18 for us is like, I don't know, 14 for them. I think they just are like, literally, they're not having sex really. I mean, this is like, this is what I'm hearing.
This is statistically true. It's all true.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And I have to do with this. I know it has to do with like these things, these phones, these everything, which is, So if they're 18, they're really 14 for a millennial, just so you know.
We could. So if you're paying for the phone, you will tell them this is my phone.
Right.
I would consider starting with one app at a time. So let them tell you like what app they think might be the most important for them and why. And hopefully it's going to be an app that keeps them in touch with their friends. But but start one at a time.
A lot of
people will actually say like, if your kid's on the app, you should be on the app too, or at least have read about the parental controls on that app and sort of things to look out for so that you're educated on what to watch out for as well. I think a controversial boundary to put in place is monitoring your kid's phone.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that.
What's that?
I was going to ask about that, like your thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious your thoughts. Like, I think before I got into this space, I would have said like, that's helicoptering. That seems a little bit too much. But after being in it and just, I don't know, seeing how scary it is out there, mm-hmm. I don't think parents are wrong if they want to, is what I will say about it. I think you can be very open when you give the phone to say, we will be checking on your phone mm-hmm. at times. We need to make sure that you're safe. As time goes on, if they're proving to be trustworthy, then you can do that less and less. But I think you're totally within your rights if you want to.
Yeah, I agree. I actually did that with my son and was very open with it. And like, a lot of things have changed again since I have discovered Dr. Young. He's probably like, who is this Dr. Young? He's like, why do I have to do this? But I started taking his phone at night because I thought literally he'd bring it in and it was like his alarm. He has another alarm, but I just thought he was going to sleep. I literally just assumed he was going to sleep until one day, I think my husband decided to go in his room and he could see the light. It was like 11:30 and he goes lights out at 9:30. And I was like, oh, and he was being really tired. That was it. He was really tired in the morning. And then I was like, no phones in your room, no phones out of the public place. Like that was like the first boundary we put. And yeah. The second one's like, give me your phone. I'm going to go through it just so you know. Why? Well, because I am. Yeah. And I love you. I'm just going to go through it. Okay. Because you've proven yourself not to be trustworthy because we told you not to do this. So now I have to just double check. Like I give him a reason. It's not like because I said so.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he didn't make a big fuss. Like he was like, okay. He's just starting to understand, you know, your child, the boundaries that are being put in place. And I think it's good because he's not addicted. Cause if he was, and I think it would have been a way bigger reaction, right. But I'm catching it soon enough where I'm like, okay, these are the chances, like the changes that we're going to make, get with it or not. And these are the reasons why.
Yeah.
And I love you. And he's like, this sucks, but okay. Like
they have a choice if they, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, the bedroom thing is like, when I give talks to parents, I'm like, if you take away one thing from this entire talk, no devices in the bedroom, like no phone, no gaming consoles, nothing. Now there's smart TVs, like just nothing.
Yes.
Because we are, the amount of children that aren't sleeping, I cannot tell you how severe this is and how it contributes to, I mean, the symptoms of ADHD can be mimicked by sleep deprivation, like perfectly.
Wow. It contributes
to obesity because of cortisol and cravings, yes. Psychological things. It's just so, what was the study? Like over 50% of kids are using their phones between midnight and 5 a.m.
Over 50%? What the? And I believe it. I believe because I caught my son and he was tired and now it's different. Like I just.
Because we can put our phone down at night and we have that executive function to be like, I'm not picking that up in the night. Like I don't have my phone overnight, even though it's right beside me, but they don't have that impulse control. They haven't developed it yet. And so if they just do it.
So true. Like if we had done that, we probably would have like when we were younger, like in eighth grade, we didn't have that ability.
Yeah.
You had to log on and there's like this, like to get on the internet. Like it was just a whole production to do anything. We had to wait a long time. They're just like, boom. And see a little night, like a light notification. And it's like, I have to check that. Yeah. What is that? Wild. That is so should parents, okay. As a person that works in social media, I mean, I feel like rules are different for parents than they are for kids. Like for sure. But should we be modeling more?
So, I mean, I think we know that like kids don't necessarily listen to what we say, but they do what we do kind of. We need to do a better job of modeling for sure. And I'm working on that, you know, like, just, so that would be another boundary that I would talk about is like tech-free time in your day as a family. And you can talk about that, whatever that looks like. But you know, from this and this hour, we're all going to put our phones away and we're just going to spend time as a family, whatever it may be. If you're on your phone for work, to like, let your kid know that that is what's happening, just scrolling. You could take it a step further and not put your phone in your bedroom. But I mean, if you're good about not actually looking at your phone at night, I don't know that that's totally necessary, but yeah, we have to model.
Yeah, we totally do. I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, like
right?
Do what? Say that again.
We can't be hypocrites. And I have patients in the office where we're talking about the kids, you know, use, and then they'll be like, well, you're on your phone just as much as me. And like, they're not wrong.
Yeah.
You know, their parents, right?
Yeah. And then what do you, yeah, it's true. And like, I raised my kids to speak up, like to speak out against like hypocrisies and things like that. And so very much so if I'm like, he's like, well, you're doing, I'm like, I know, but I'm working, but then I sound like my mom or my dad. I'm like, stop it, Lauren. Like we can set like real boundaries and say, this is like, and I think it's good for everyone to like not mindlessly scroll or not like literally my thumb doesn't even, I can just pick up my phone and it just gravitates towards apps. Like it does. I'm not even thinking. Right. Well, and
like I'm blown away by you influence, like who do this as a career, because I feel like even me having this little tiny side thing with a few thousand followers, like it does become, you know, I don't know how you do it.
Girl, there's been a lot of times I think about quitting, just saying y'all, stop coming for me. I'll do it too much.
Yeah.
Okay. But that is like in all seriousness, like that is super helpful. Like, I mean, I also do think like, you don't have to do everything that your kid would do, but just being mindful again of like the example you're setting. If you're at the dinner table, like we don't do phones at the dinner table, but my husband the other day, like I was like, what are you doing?
Oh
like,
yeah.
Put it away. Yeah. Not even like, you know, like just things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut it out. Just that's easy.
You need to be parented as much as the children.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to do a whole nother like episode on just that. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to like kind of just talk about really quickly, like tips on like community. I think we kind of touched on this, but maybe I have a very open relationship with my son and I know him very well. So like, it's easy for me to come to him with some of these things and like, this is what's going to happen. I know he's not going to get defensive. It's going to be okay. Like he's going to get a little defensive, but it's not going to be like a full blown tantrum. Like, I don't know what's happening. I saw some video on YouTube where like, I think the mom had taken away like a 12-year-old's device and he obviously had other things going on. Like I think, but he trashed the house, like ripped up the toilet, broke her laptop, like, and she was just bawling. And I was like, obviously there was other things like, and that was obviously probably an addiction and things were happening impulsively with him, but what? So all to say, there's extremes and every child is different, but are there tips for maybe someone communicating for parents, how to communicate with their child, like A, how to be more responsible and have like that maybe ethical talk about online and things to worry about. And then B, approaching the conversation. Let's just start there. First, like, let's talk about how parents can approach talking to their kids about the ethics of online behavior and things that like, if something uncomfortable happens for them, they're fostering an open communication where like their child might come to them. You know, I feel like it's like a sex talk of this era. Like all of our parents wanted to talk about sex, but we knew, you know what I mean? Like, so how do they do that now? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like it's a really great question because also I think the parent child bond is honestly probably the most protective factor against all of this everything. Mental health stuff, right?
Yeah.
So keeping that line of communication open is so important. And I think in the teenage years, a lot of times that's where you see parents and kids kind of separate and just lose touch with who one another is, really. So ideally, so let's look at like your girls, for example.
Yeah.
Ideally, this conversation is going to start years before they get a smartphone or social media. Like if they're asking you at 8 and you're going to say, no, you're not ready. And here's why, you keep talking to them about it as things come up, you know, and I would say to just frame it in a pick your times, like pick when things seem happy. You're in the car together. Hey, did you see this news article about whatever? And kind of like bring it up like that. Or, hey, what are your friends seeing on social media? Like not in a, we don't want to make it a confrontational thing. Yeah. Curious. So you're curious, you let them talk like, well, how does it make you feel when you see such and such at your friend's house on Instagram or whatever. No penalties for it. Or
yes.
But just talking. And also I would say avoid being catastrophic about things, because as soon as you're catastrophic, like you can't have social media because you're going to commit suicide if you get on that. Right? Like your child is immediately going to stop talking to you about that topic.
Right. And just think of you as just like, wow, bro, like you're just, I'm not going to listen to anything. You're crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
So yeah. True. And then really the last thing is like to say it till you're blue in the face, until they're rolling their eyes, till they know that if they get into any trouble online or they see something that scares them, whatever it may be, they can come to you and there's going to be no trouble.
Yes.
No trouble. Because like, you know, these kids that commit suicide or whatever, who knows what's going on, but you know, you would want to make sure that they knew that you were a safe space to come no matter what.
100%. And I love that you're naming that too, because it's, while we didn't have like social media and things like that, but like when a child feels like there's no, like, and they don't understand there's like a world and they're going to grow and there's years later, like the whatever's happening right then isn't like the end of their world.
Yeah.
And they feel like there's no one they can talk to. That's when they feel like, I think, suicidal. It's like, I can't, my life's so, hopefully. I can't even tell, like, I'm in trouble. Whatever this person's saying to me online, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And like, I can, my mom will kill me if she knows that I even did this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that is like at the core. If like your child feels like they have a problem, they can come to you and you're going to like respond with love. Like, I think about it. I didn't have this with my mom, but I think I'm going to have it with my kids, and maybe people are going to like cancel me. I don't know for it, but if my child's like ever at a party or something and everyone's wasted, I mean, now it's in the day of Uber, so it's different, but like, and they feel unsafe or like someone's doing something wrong or they even did something wrong and they want to leave, I will have a don't ask, like, you call me, I will come pick you up. You will not be in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, just come. I'm there. Like, yes. Don't be scared and get into some other situation because you're like, just call me versus getting in the car with someone that's been, you know what I mean? Like, I wish I had that, because I mean, nothing happened, but I was in some really sketchy situations where I was like, yo, what am I doing here? I am surprised I made it out. Cool.
Yeah.
We're still good. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just think that that kind of mentality as millennials, like we may not have had from our parents, but like knowing what we would have like definitely benefited from, use that, even though it's like a different nuanced thing with social media, it still can be the same kind of mindset. So I just love that.
Yeah. And let's hope kids want to go to the odd party too.
Yeah, I know. Go to the party, dude. Try stuff. Like, yes, please go to the party.
Like our best memories, right?
Right. Oh my gosh, I can't even. That's another conversation. Okay. So we have talked. I've talked your head off. It's been such a great, fruitful conversation. Thank you, like, so much. I feel like over the past 2 weeks, I'm hoping like folks got something great from it. I know I learned so much just researching you, and I just love your platform because it isn't I can't even say the word, but you're not like scaring parents, guilting them, shaming them. It's just putting things out there. Is there any like last piece or like the biggest takeaway from this last segment on smartphones, social media for our older kids? Like a biggest takeaway that you want parents to remember, what would you think it would be?
I like to draw the comparison. So this would apply to parents who don't yet have their kids on social media. This comparison in medicine, which is primary versus secondary prevention. So primary prevention is preventing a harm from happening in the first place. So we're going to advise you to exercise and not smoke so that you don't have a heart attack.
Right.
And then secondary prevention would be, you've already had a heart attack, and now we're looking at things like exercise and medication to prevent you from having another heart attack. So I draw the comparison to social media because I think we should stay with primary prevention as long as we can and just delay as long as we can. They don't need the stuff. And I get that the societal pressure and big tech and everybody wants them on there. But until we decide that we need to change this narrative, like, we just keep them off, keep them in real life. Because as soon as we do give in, even if we put all these boundaries in place and we do our best, we are ultimately in secondary prevention. It's going to affect them in some way. And then we're trying to often work backwards, and it's harder to work backwards.
Yes. So
that would be kind of,
I love that. Yeah. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, it's like, boom, it's out. It's like, and there's safer ways, right? But like, I love that. If I could go back now, and I think I'm lucky enough to kind of see the future, right? I mean, through my age gap, where I'm like, oh, okay, there's real things that can happen. And like, I'm just grateful now that he's only 13 and he's like not going to college, and I'm catching this, because then it's like, I can't get you back. Like, I have a little control now and doing as much as we can. Because at the end of the day, we all just want what's best for our kids. We're all just trying to do our best, and there's no guilt, there's no shame. We're all like surviving, doing our best, and with the knowledge that we have.
Yeah.
And there's no judgment. It's just, let's just talk about it, and you do what you need to do for you and your family. Oh, Dr. Allison Young, thank you for these past amazing weeks and these conversations. It has been amazing. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram at the Smartphone Effect MD.
Amazing. And I highly recommend to follow her, y'all. I learned so much. Like I said, it's kind of changed my life. It's been a very personal episode.
But Mom, great.
With that, we will see y'all next time. This has been That Twin Mama Podcast.
Thanks.
And that is it for today's episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before we bounce, I'm going to leave y'all with two requests. The first is, if you are enjoying this podcast, please follow along and leave us a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, whichever your preferred platform is. These ratings do a lot for our engagement, but also gives us the inspiration, the push to keep on showing up for you all week after week with some great content that we are sure you're going to enjoy. And secondly, follow us on our socials. You can find me at That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram and at That Twin Mama on YouTube. On Instagram, you'll see a lot of short form versions of these videos, but a lot of content that relates to the subject matter week after week that I am sure you're going to love. So until then, again, thank you for showing up. Thank you for all your support, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Peace, y'all.